Let's continue in our talks from John by reading John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. In this section of John 15, the Lord emphasizes the absolute necessity for us to love one another. It is His command to us. We also learn here that we have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's consider some background notes first of all. Remember that John chapters 13 through 17 are known as the Upper Room Discourses or Farewell Discourses of our Lord. They were given to the disciples on the occasion of the Last Supper after Judas had left the upper room. The second half of chapter 13 and chapter 14 give us one farewell address, and chapter 15 and 16 give us a second farewell address or discourse. In view of chapter 14, verse 31, which says, "Arise, let us go from here," this second discourse of chapters 15 and 16 may have been given as they left the upper room and were making their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. In verse 16, we read that the Lord said to them, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." In the Judaism of the first century, normally the disciple chose the particular rabbi or teacher that he wanted to learn from and be attached to. But in the case of our Lord and his disciples, it was just the opposite. The rabbi chose the disciples. "You did not choose me, but I chose you." The Lord handpicked each of his disciples. Now, one more background note from verse 16. When the Lord said, "I chose you and appointed you," some of your translations use the word "ordained." Now, the idea here is not ordination by the church of some Christians for the ministry. No. The idea here is that the Lord has chosen and appointed every Christian to bear fruit. Well, so much for background notes. Now let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points for this section of John chapter 15. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord's command to believers is very emphatic. The Lord's command to believers is very emphatic. What command to believers is very emphatic? The command to love one another. Verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And verse 17, "These things I command you, that you love one another." To love one another is not only a command, it's an emphatic command. It's not an option. It's a command and it's an emphatic command. The Lord had given this emphatic command already back in John chapter 13 and verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Illustration. Let's say the parents of some teenagers are leaving for the weekend. The teenagers are going to be home alone and have the run of the house for the weekend. I see some smiles. Now, before the parents leave, there are certain directions they try to communicate to the teenagers. Don't forget to feed the pets. Don't forget to water the plants. Don't forget to turn off the unused lights, etc., etc. But there's always one command for any particular family that's emphasized before the parents leave. It may be, "And don't break anything," or "And no parties," or "And don't fight." And the parents will say it more than once. Remember, no fighting. Well, the Lord Jesus knew that when he left this earth, we would tend to fight and contend with one another and quarrel with one another and be jealous of one another like immature children. And so he left us with this emphatic command, love one another. Remember, love one another. How much are we to love one another? Well, the Lord tells us there in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And if you think that's too general, then look at verse 13. The Lord said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's the standard. Love one another to the point of dying for a fellow believer. That's the kind of love the Lord showed us. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we read, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord's command is to love one another as I have loved you. How do we measure up to this standard? The Lord's command to believers is very emphatic. Doctrinal point number 2. The Lord's call for believers is very endearing. The Lord's call for believers is very endearing. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. The Lord's call or designation for believers is not servants, but friends. That's a very endearing term. Now, the word for servant here is doulos, and it means slave. Now, there is no contradiction here with what we have in the New Testament epistles, where we are encouraged to view ourselves as bond slaves of Christ. Look at Romans 1, verse 1 in this connection, for example. We are slaves of Christ in that he alone is our master, and we give to him willing and humble and obedient service. But the point here in John 15, verse 15, is that we are more than servants or slaves. We are his friends. If we are obedient servants, verse 14, then we are more than servants. We are friends. Friends share secrets. Masters don't share their plans with slaves. Our relationship with Christ is more than that of a slave-master relationship. We are dear to him. There is an intimate relationship here. He shares his plans with us, as we see there in verse 15. Ephesians 1:9 says that he has made known to us the mystery of his will. Think of it. We are friends of Christ and given insight into the very counsels of God. What a place of endearment. The Lord's call for believers is very endearing. Doctrinal point number 3. The Lord's choice of believers is very encouraging. The Lord's choice of believers is very encouraging. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now, the point of the Lord's choosing here is not salvation so much as it is sanctification and service. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit. That's sanctification. Read Galatians 5 in this connection. And, of course, the fruit of evangelism. Winning souls. That's service. So the intent of the Lord's choice here is our sanctification and service, and that should be very encouraging. The Lord chose us and appointed us to bear fruit. And if we are true believers, we will bear fruit. That's encouraging. It's particularly encouraging when you feel like you're not getting anywhere in your Christian life, or there doesn't seem to be much fruit in your ministry. The Lord does not choose us and appoint us to bear fruit and then not accomplish his purpose. Another encouraging point here is that the phrase, and that your fruit should remain, that is, it has eternal value. That's very encouraging. The fruit we bear here on this earth does not have a limited shelf life. It is preserved forever. Now that's encouraging. Now while the main point of verse 16 is chosen and appointed for fruit bearing, salvation is certainly included. After all, how can you be chosen and appointed for fruit bearing without being chosen for salvation? You did not choose me, but I chose you. Now, the concept of election has always been disturbing to some Christians, but it should be encouraging. You know why the concept of election is encouraging to me? Because I know that if God did not make the first move, I would never have chosen God on my own. Would you? The Lord's choice of believers is very encouraging. Now, what about practical application? Let's take two quick practical applications here, a do and a don't. Let's start with a don't. Don't pray for what's not promised. Don't pray for what's not promised. Look at the end of verse 16. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Notice that this is in the context of fruit bearing. In fact, this promise is contingent on fruit bearing. This is not a blank check for whatever you want. This is not a promise that your prayer for an A on the next exam will be answered. This is not a promise that your prayer for good weather for your beach date is going to be answered. This is not a promise that your prayer for a raise tomorrow in your job is going to be answered. But it is a promise that if you are bearing fruit, then the prayer request that you make in the will of the Lord concerning fruit bearing will be answered. You know, I've prayed that if it's the Lord's will, he will give me enough years with clarity of mind to finish taping the Bible for the radio ministry. Now, at the present rate, it's going to take a number of years. But I believe God will answer this prayer, or if not, he'll give me insight as to his better plan. In any case, pray for what's promised. Don't pray for what's not promised. Practical application number two, and this is our do. Do know 1 John 3:16. Do know 1 John 3:16. Now you say, everyone knows John 3:16. Why, that's even held up on signs at football games. Ah, but I didn't say John 3:16. I said 1 John 3:16. Do know 1 John 3:16. Do you know that verse? Let me read it. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Remember our first doctrinal point? The Lord's command to believers is very emphatic. Love one another as I have loved you. How? Well, here it is again in 1 John 3:16. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, we may be called upon to lay down our lives, literally, for a fellow believer. But you know, we can lay down our lives in other ways as well. We can lay down our lives for a fellow believer by listening to a fellow believer who has a problem. We can lay down our lives by helping a fellow believer who is in great need. We can lay down our lives by giving to a fellow believer who the Lord has given a great ministry. We all know John 3:16, wonderful gospel text in Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But do we know 1 John 3:16? Do know 1 John 3:16.